ever shake on a deal, like, really feeling good about it, confident, like you signed a contract. That handshake, that verbal promise, it can feel so binding.
Absolutely.
But what happens when, those words, they kind of get lost, especially when you've got like a big official contract involved. That's the story behind Mitchell v. Lath.
Oh, interesting
It
case.
really shows us why maybe we shouldn't always put all our trust in those gentlemen's agreements.
Yeah, what's fascinating is how this case, it's from all the way back in 1927,
Wow.
but it still resonates today. It's about trust, promises, those legally binding agreements, stuff we all deal with.
Right. Okay, so for a listener, let's set the scene. We're talking like rural New York. Beautiful farm, it's up for sale. Mrs. Mitchell, she's ready to buy, it's her dream country escape. But there's this eyesore across the road. It's a rundown ice house. So the sellers, the Laths, they want to sweeten the deal. They verbally promise to tear it down. Mrs. Mitchell, she's relieved. She signs a super detailed contract. But here's the thing, that ice house promise, not in the written agreement.
Ah, so that's where the legal drama comes in. It's like, imagine buying a used car. The written contract, that's what matters. It dictates the condition of the car, not just, what the salesperson told you. That's the parole evidence rule in a nutshell. That written contract, it's the final word.
So you can imagine how Mrs. Mitchell must feel. She moves in, starts fixing up her farmhouse, and that darn ice house is still there.
Oh, no.
Feeling like that promise was broken, she takes the Laths to court.
Makes sense. So the court had to figure this out. On the one hand, you've got this really detailed written contract. And then on the other hand, you have Mrs. Mitchell saying, no, that ice house promise was a separate agreement, a verbal one. That's what made her buy the farm. She's arguing it wasn't about changing the terms of the sale. It was like a crucial factor in the whole deal.
But the court, the majority opinion, they said, look, this contract is so detailed, covers everything about the sale. If removing the ice house was so important, why wouldn't it be in writing?
Their logic was all about keeping those contracts strong. Think about it, running a business, if just a handshake could override like a big contract, the legal system, it needs those written agreements for stability, for clarity, for everything to run smoothly.
That makes sense. But reading about this case, I feel for Mrs. Mitchell. It's like she really relied on that promise. It was part of the deal for her.
And that's exactly what the dissenting opinion focused on. They said, yes, the contract is detailed. But the ice house promise, that wasn't about changing, the sale itself. It was like a separate reason to buy, a side deal almost.
So it's this clash between strictly following a written contract and then considering like the potential unfairness of just ignoring a verbal agreement, one that clearly played a role in the deal. What a legal and ethical puzzle.
Absolutely. It really makes you think about, agreements. It's not always so simple.
It's not black and white, yeah. And it makes you realize, I think, how easily you can mess things up when you just rely on like verbal promises, especially for a big decision like, buying a house or even that used car we talked about.
Exactly. If you connect this to the listener's own life, all the agreements we make every day, right? Renting an apartment, renting a loan, clicking, I agree to, like, a million things online.
All those terms of service.
Yeah, those written documents, they're there for a reason. They protect both sides.
Okay, so those contracts, those terms of service, they act like a safety net, making sure everyone's on the same page. But I mean, let's be honest, how many of us really read all that fine print? I know I just skim and click through.
You're not alone. But that's why this case, Mitchell v. Lath, is such a like important lesson. It reminds us what's not in a contract can be just as important as what I ask.
Oh, interesting.
You gotta be careful, ask questions, and most importantly, get those big promises in writing.
So it's not just about, trusting the other person. It's about protecting yourself, being proactive.
Absolutely.
But what about situations where, getting everything in writing isn't realistic? Like a quick agreement with a contractor or a verbal understanding with a friend about like lending money?
Well, a formal contract is always best, but there are things you can do. Documentation, emails, texts, even like notes from a meeting, anything that shows what you both agreed to. It shows a meeting of the minds, as they say.
So even if it's not a formal contract, having some kind of record can really help.
Huge difference.
But doesn't this focus on written agreements, I don't know, sometimes feel a little like cold?
Oh, yeah.
Like you're undermining the trust that's usually part of making a deal.
It's an interesting point. And to be fair, the dissenting opinion in the case, they touched on that. Yeah. They were worried that sticking to the parole evidence rule too rigidly, it could actually let, like, bad actors take advantage.
Right.
You know, make promises they never intend to keep.
I could see that. Someone who's, like, really slick.
Yeah.
They could use that to their advantage,
yes.
Especially if they know the other person is, like, relying on that verbal agreement.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to understand, you know, the downsides of only focusing on written contracts. Sometimes the spirit of the agreement gets lost in the, you know, strict legal language.
Right.
It shows how important it is to find a good lawyer.
Yeah.
Someone you can trust, someone who can help you navigate those tricky parts and make sure things are fair.
So Mitchell v. Lath isn't just about, like, a warning about written agreements. Mm. It's also about, you know, being smart, being careful, getting legal help when you need it.
Right. Mm.
And remembering that those verbal promises, even though they feel so important, they might not always hold up in court.
Absolutely. And even beyond the law, this case is about how we interact, you know? Clear communication, expectations, even a bit of healthy skepticism,
mm-hmm.
it can prevent problems, whether you're doing business or just dealing with friends.
Yeah, so we've covered, like, the importance of written agreements, the problems they can have, the value of just talking clearly.
Yeah.
What else, like, stands out to you about this case? Anything that really stuck with you?
What I find fascinating is how Mitchell v. Lath, this old case, it has implications for, like, our digital world now.
Yeah.
Back then, agreements were often made with a handshake. Now we're constantly clicking, I agree, online.
Right. We rarely even think about what those online agreements mean.
Exactly.
Even though they control, like, our privacy, our data, everything.
Right. And it brings up a big question. How do legal ideas like the parole evidence rule work in this new world?
Yeah.
How do we balance efficiency with protecting ourselves when we're surrounded by digital agreements?
That's a whole other deep dive right there.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how this case about an ice house can start such relevant conversations.
It shows how strong legal precedent is, how it shapes, you know, how we see the law. It guides us as we figure out this crazy modern life.
Well, we've definitely, like, gone deep on Mitchell v. Lath.
Yeah.
From the details of the case to the bigger picture of agreements, contracts, our digital lives.
Absolutely.
What a journey. We've talked about so much with Mitchell v. Lath. It really makes you think about, you know, all those little agreements we make, whether it's shaking hands on something or those online terms and conditions we never read.
It's amazing how, like, this one case, just a dispute over an ice house, can teach us so much about contracts, agreements, you know, how we deal with each other.
It really is. So as we wrap up, let's think about our listener for a minute. What are the big takeaways here? What can we learn from, you know, what happened to Mrs. Mitchell and use that in our own lives?
Okay, imagine this. You're negotiating a job offer. You're excited, right? Great salary, benefits, maybe even that corner office.
Nice.
But then you get the actual contract and some of those things are missing.
Oh.
What do you do?
That's tough.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the excitement and forget about the details.
Exactly. And that's where Mitchell v. Lath comes in. Don't just rely on those promises, no matter how nice they sound.
Yeah.
Read that contract carefully, ask questions, and if something is really important to you, get it in writing.
It's about knowing your rights, standing up for yourself, making sure those verbal agreements are actually in the final contract. And, you know, we talked about documentation, emails, texts, notes. Those can be really helpful if there's ever a dispute.
For sure. But even beyond the legal stuff, I think this case shows us how important clear communication is. Whether it's a business deal or just an agreement with a friend, being upfront about what you expect, putting things in writing when you can, it can prevent a lot of headaches and save those relationships.
So true. And as we, you know, live more and more of our lives online with contracts and agreements everywhere, it's even more important to be careful, be informed, and remember that understanding a little bit of law can go a long way.
Definitely. Mitchell v. Lath might be an old case, but the lessons are still relevant today. And who knows, maybe it'll even get some of our listeners to actually read those online terms and conditions before they click, I agree.
I hope so.
Huh.
This has been a fascinating deep dive with so much to think about. Thanks for joining us as we explored Mitchell v. Lath and what it means for contracts, agreements, and even how we live our lives.
It's been great unpacking this case with you and our listeners. Until next time, stay curious.